Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Today, I am joined by the most wonderful Audrey Dickinson, a holistic nutritional therapist and food enthusiast who specialized in hormone and reproductive health. Now, a little anecdote. I actually met Audrey, as women do, in a spontaneous burst of intense sharing in the queue at the doctor's absolutely years ago. We had no idea who the other person was, started talking about life and things, got into a very intense discussion, and then each went our way and didn't see each other again for years. And I love that about women, that way that we can connect and share something which brightens up or gives some hope to us that special day. Anyway, we were introduced again years later, and when I heard that she'd become a nutritionist, I was also very intrigued because I think back then I had one of my children who I was a bit worried about their nutrition. So anyway, all about magic. Audrey, welcome. Thank you for being here. Can you maybe start with just giving us a brief summary of who you are, maybe where you're from, what you do, and why you do it before we move on to the core of the matter?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for inviting me on here, Julie. It's lovely.
So happy.
Yeah, my name's Audrey. I'm Scottish. I'm originally from Scotland. And I left Scotland 20 years ago now, I think. And have been moving around into different countries. And food has always been, I've always been fascinated by food, growing my own food, understanding about food, how it works in my body. And yeah, I then decided I wanted to study nutritional therapy, which I did over a number of years. And I've now been running my own practice now for almost 4 years.
Wow.
As you said, specializing in female health, hormone health. And I had my own issues with hormone and fertility, actually, years ago. This kind of brought my curiosity to, again, understanding how does food impact the body? How does it help our hormones?
Wonderful, isn't it? The way that, that something which is bad, as in something which is worrying us, you can then turn into actually your passion and then share it to the benefit of others.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, but actually, yes. Yeah, so teaching women really just to understand their body, their hormone health.
Yeah.
And how we can support that through our food, self-care, and just really mindfulness practices, actually.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you're exactly what we need in this fabulous After 50 podcast. Yeah. And I mean, OK, so where you mentioned, you know, the M word. Well, I'm 53 and I'm still totally unclear if I am in the menopause or just out of it. But all I can say is it has been a real sort of roller coaster with teenage style mood swings, weight gain, night sweats. I mean, some days I can literally cry for half an hour over a dead fly, which is why I immediately loved your title, Stay Meno Positive.
Positive.
Right. Yeah. So Audrey, how do we go about it? This thing that we're not controlling, that we don't really understand, and everything that we seem to do before which worked is suddenly not working.
That's the thing, isn't it? And I don't think there's much education before, even when we were in our younger years as women, about what's ahead of us and what to look out for.
Right.
But also to recognize some signals of menopause. And I think a lot of women can suffer many different symptoms and become very stressed and panicked because they think it's possibly another illness or something really bad. And so that's what I like to do, is I like to just inform women about these are the symptoms to look out for. But also, I think it's just about recognizing where you are that day and understanding that you are going through this, you know, second puberty phase.
Oh, good. It is actually referred to as that, is it? I wasn't aware of that. And I kept thinking, you know, I'm behaving like a real teenager.
Yes, because exactly that's what it's almost the same as what you went through in your younger years when you went through puberty. And just that unknown and hormones that are really trying to find their way. You know, they say the body's just trying to find its way. The brain's trying to recalibrate itself as these estrogen and progesterone's hormones are changing.
So that's basically it. Is it sort of in short, as in what's happening to our body? It's as we come to the end of our reproductive cycle then, sort of our children bearing thing. The estrogen and the progesterone go down.
Well, exactly. First of all, you're starting to lose your follicles. And you're not ovulating as much. And as we know, after ovulation, our progesterone rises. Okay. So for you losing our follicles, you know, we're also then losing our progesterone because our progesterone has not been stimulated by our ovulation.
And what does progesterone actually do?
So progesterone is our hormone that actually keeps us really calm.
Oh,
us, exactly. It's in that second half of the cycle that keeps us nice and calm. It helps to keep the uterus lining really thin. Also, you know, the blood flow light as possible. So when we're losing these, as you had said there, you know, we're losing that ability to also working as an anti-inflammatory. Then our bodies then produce maybe becoming more pro-inflammatory. We're unable to maybe control some of our anxiety. So you can see, and then therefore that means your progesterone has started to drop. So there's a good chance that your estrogen is becoming high.
Okay. And the estrogen does...
Estrogen, that's fascinating that you actually say that, because estrogen is connected to many systems of our body. So, you know, our brain health, our respiratory system, our immune system, our bone health, all is connected to estrogen in some way.
You see, we don't know that. I don't know that. I mean, I consider myself a relatively educated woman. I don't know the details of all of that.
Well, and one of the things I would say that I see quite a lot as well is that estrogen is really connected to our immune system, but it also stimulates our histamine.
Right.
So a lot of the menopausal symptoms that we have maybe due to estrogen could in fact be due to high histamine.
Now, wait a minute. So histamine, because we're not all as knowledgeable as you. Histamine, I thought it was that thing that you get, you know, when you get like hay fever or, you know, spinach or something like that has a lot of histamine or something in it.
So what you have is you have histamine that the body's producing naturally. The immune system is stimulating histamine to create an inflammatory response when we have pathogens or we have pollens or allergens coming into the body. So the body's already producing quite a lot of high histamine due to, you know, seasonal changes.
Right.
And then we start to eat high histamine foods, our cup then overflows, doesn't it?
Right. So what is a high histamine food? Sorry for interrupting you all the time with my questions.
No, not at all. So you could think of avocados.
Okay.
Spinach, as you mentioned. Tomatoes. Aubergine. Alcohol.
Uh-oh. Don't say that one. These are all the things I like.
I know. And certainly, as you said myself, I'm 50 now and in my perimenopausal years, maybe in menopause, I don't know at the moment. But I've certainly noticed that even one glass of wine just sets me over the edge.
Mm.
And for those ladies that are in sort of that perimenopausal stage when estrogen's high, you know, that second week into your cycle when estrogen's high, then having a glass of wine might not be a good idea.
Right. So it's really knowing. So these are food we should avoid or at least reduce during the menopause. I mean, afterwards, it's okay. Because the thing that I'm finding a bit strange is because linked to weight, I've been looking up, you know, what should I not be eating anymore? Of course, we're all different. But, you know, what should I not? So that's, you know, less carbs, more protein, etc. And most of the diets I'm looking at, when I look at your list, I mean, avocado is one of the things that they're recommending. I mean, some of the diets, I seem to be having an avocado every day. And I'm thinking, well,
That's right. And avocados are a real essential fat. They're a fantastic, great source of a good fat to get into your diet. But we have to be very mindful of what we say about eliminating and taking away out of our diets, especially when we're in this phase of our life, when our body needs all the nutrients it can get.
Right.
What I am saying, though, is the avocados and the high histamine foods, you will feel yourself when you are responding to these foods in that phase of your monthly cycle. I certainly know myself, I will wake up and I'll feel in the inside of my mouth, I almost feel as if it could become a bit, certainly inflamed, but the tissues
rough,
but maybe there's a potential to get an ulcer.
Right.
In my mind. And also another thing I notice myself is I get a lot of pressure in my head.
Okay.
And then I know, okay, for the next few days, I really need to be careful.
Right, so it really is cyclical. So we have to learn to recognize, almost as you say, on a day-to-day basis, you know, how am I today where we could be? Now, but so when we're talking about, let's say, people who are in the menopause or even maybe coming out of it, so this estrogen is going, what we just said, down, right?
So your estrogen, yeah, is continuing to decline.
But then it's not going to come back, is it? I mean, it's not going up and down. It's just getting less and less and less and less.
Getting less and less and less. And not to, and just also to mention that we don't, our bodies doesn't stop producing estrogen altogether. It just switches as to where it's made. So estrogen, as we are in the menopause, will be made within our fat cells.
Okay.
And in the adrenals, a small amount in the adrenals, because we still need that small, weaker source of estrogen for all of the other things, the functioning of the brain, bone health, respiratory, and all the other things that I mentioned. Okay. So it just becomes a different type of estrogen and a much weaker source.
Right.
Yes.
So how can we help ourselves through all of that? I mean, I liked actually the comparison with puberty. And I remember, for example, well, let's say my daughter, I won't go into details, otherwise she'll murder me after the show. But, you know, I remember thinking, okay, stop thinking that she's thinking like a normal being. You know, you can't hold her accountable like you would normally, right? Imagine that she's going, I used to call it, you know, I used to say that she was, you know, partially like in my head handicapped, but I didn't mean that. I meant like fuzzy. She was going through a fuzzy zone where it wasn't her fault. She was less capable of making the right choices. So that meant I was more gentle towards her, or maybe more patient in the way I went about things. And I suppose instead, I think in menopause, we get very angry at ourselves, or I do, you know, what do you mean you're putting on weight, and what do you mean this, and what do you mean that? Why are you, you know, lashing out and crying over a fly? For goodness sake, get a hand of your, a hang of yourself, girl, and all that. We should actually be having more self-care.
I know. Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And just what you mentioned there about that anger issue, again, when you're hormones are fluctuating, like the estrogen and progesterone. Sometimes with some women, that can increase your testosterone. So you really have that kind of more aggressive. And trying to channel that into something, whether that's a creative outlet in some way, or whether that's, I certainly know for myself, I sing in a choir, and I, for me, it has been an absolute savior. Yeah, also for many other women you know, at this stage.
So indeed, so it's to use that, because it is energy, right? Anger is an energy. So instead of, you know, refusing it outlet, which is probably then going to make you ill in a different way, is to find a positive outlet.
Positive
for it.
Outlet. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, certainly someone that I've met recently, she's a voice coach.
Oh,
and she was doing these amazing sessions down at the beach. Her name is Julie Scott. And she was like, I mean, an amazing thing for women and men just to really express.
Yeah, and let it go.
Into the ocean, you know.
Yeah. That's very therapeutic, actually. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how can we go about this? So, I mean, okay, I hear you saying we need to monitor. Okay, so I think, I mean, to do that, we would need, you know, to maybe do a course, or at least look really into exactly what does it mean? What are we looking for? When this happens, what do we do? But for the sake of today, because we are staying sort of more on a general level, you know, and I promise help. I promise. So in general lines, what can we do now, which is probably applicable to most women, knowing that the audience, of course, will be a whole mix of perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause. You know, what can we do to help ourselves?
Yeah. So I, within my toolkit, the five things that I have within my toolkit that help me every single day.
Right.
Is I am very much a fan of doTERRA products, essential oils.
What was the first word you said? What products?
The brand is called doTERRA.
Oh, it's a brand. Okay. Right.
And it's an essential oil, and it's, they have numerous types of essential oils in there, but I'm going to give you the three that I use on a daily basis, just to kind of really, actually four, just to help clarity of mind, just for motivation, and also really to help me with my, I'm experiencing headaches quite a lot.
Yes, I do too.
I'm going to start with that first of all. And the one that I use, it's called Deep Blue.
Okay.
And this Deep Blue, I use it as, it's kind of like the, you know, if you had some muscle ache, you would rub on sort of camphor or a winter green. It's kind of that idea. And I put one drop of that in some oil, so carrier oil, jojoba oil, and I put that on my temples and around the back of my neck.
Okay, so you literally sort of massage it a little bit.
I literally massage it into my temples. I might put it across the top of my head, bearing in mind essential oils are, especially these, are very, very pure. You need one drop.
Right.
And what I find with that is I put it on and I might go and sit down quietly. or lie down even in bed for maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, just to let myself settle a bit. That is wonderful for me. That really shifts that headache. The next one I use is called Clary Cam, and it's made from clarisage, and some other extracts of herbs are in there as well. And this is in a roller form. So it's actually mixed with fractionated coconut oil.
Okay.
And I rub that onto my wrists and again on my neck. Absolutely amazing for your hot flushes.
Oh, really?
It's known to be wonderful for hot flushes.
Maybe I can sleep with the bottle. I only have them at night and wake up drenched.
Well, do you know what I do? I actually put this on at night when I go to bed.
Okay, that's
good. And I don't waken up as much. And right. I do not have as many hot flushes.
You know, we'll have to have you back another time to go into exactly how aromatherapy works. Because I think lots of us are a bit like, okay, it smells nice, but...
I mean, really, they are wonderful, wonderful products to use for me anyway. And I get a lot of results from them with my menopausal symptoms.
Right.
The next thing, though, I really do, and I so, you know, can't recommend enough, is hydration.
Okay.
Drinking herbal tea and water throughout the day.
Sadly.
Really helps with your joint pain. I've had a lot of joint pain recently.
Yes.
It's helped me wonders.
Well, yeah, well, that must be like, I have tendonitis in one shoulder and doing some sort of silly yoga thing I was trying to do. I rocked over my head backwards and now I've pulled muscle in the other side. So I'm just like, I'm feeling like I'm an absolute wreck. Okay, herbal teas, any particular ones? Because there are so
herbal
many.
Teas, I drink sage.
Sage. Oh, I love sage.
Sage tea. And I grow sage in my garden. It's absolutely fantastic. And I really, I get that into myself most nights or most days. Another one I use is called Lady's Mantle that I've recently started drinking that you can get in the health food stores.
Yeah, I looked that up once. I remember, I think I read an article on that.
So
another word for it as well, isn't there?
Holland,
I'm trying to think what it was called.
What else would I drink? Another nice chamomile fennel tea, but that would be more for my digestive health because some women as well have a bit of digestive issues as well.
I hope we're going to get to that one too because that's big on my list as well.
Yeah, fennel.
Okay, so hydration, so the oils, hydration.
Yep, I would say also in the morning, really good source of protein to start you off in the morning, first thing for breakfast.
So like what?
Eggs, for example, I'm always putting eggs together with whatever I can. I literally open the fridge door and say, right, what vegetable have I got in there that I can just put in together? So eggs are a really good one. A nice Greek yogurt with some lovely nuts in there and your chia seeds and flax seeds, of course. Maybe one or two fruits would be great. So everyone's so different about what they can manage in the morning, but if you can make
I love oats. I'm an oat fan. I love oats in oat milk, basically.
Oats,
Are they okay?
Oats are fantastic because oats are as well a phytoestrogen food, so
love
they
oats.
Also...
They're my comfort food.
And a lot of people like to have a bit of an oat in the morning, and that's great. Okay. But I would definitely say that you need to add in there a bit of protein to sustain you longer. For me, oats don't sustain me so well if there's not... And, nuts or seeds.
Actually, one of the diets I looked at, it was a diet. It said to put in a teaspoon of peanut butter. I thought, well, that doesn't sound like a diet to me.
And listen, for me, again, another thing I need to talk about is I don't work in the kind of mindset of any particular diet. Mm. I work with women to make them healthy and whatever suits their body. And I don't really believe in dieting, I'll be honest,
Or do I, to be honest.
Make it some days you really
just desperate
about it. And...
Yeah, and it's a lifestyle thing, isn't it? It's something that should be part of your everyday life. It's not about starving yourself for 2 weeks and then just putting it straight back on. I mean, not that I eat unhealthily at all, but I am realizing that my very healthy way of eating is now still making me put on weight. So that's sort of the difference part of that. Because I mean, you do a lot with food as well, don't you? I mean, I've seen some of your posts flash by on LinkedIn and a little film about cooking the other day. Because you've taken menopause to a different level, right? You're also talking to corporates about this.
Exactly. I'm also offering, as I said, I like to educate people and educate women about their bodies, but they need to know how to implement that into their life.
Yes.
Using food. So what I do with corporate is I offer workshops that combine nutrition knowledge and cooking and cooking skills.
Yeah.
And the one I did recently was all about bitter foods as well. Now, bitter foods are really important in our diet.
Bitter foods, as in they taste bitter.
Exactly. So okay. Bitter foods, we have bitter taste receptors at the back of our tongue, but we also have bitter receptors actually in our gut us to absorb glucose. Now, what I find is women get into the menopause, their ability to use insulin that helps us get glucose out of the bloodstream and into the cells, many women actually, they can't use insulin as well. So they end up with an insulin resistant situation.
Okay.
But getting bitter foods into the body really helps within the gut to kind of stimulate and these bitter receptors and use glucose in a more efficient way.
Now, bitter food, would that also be something like raw, and what's it called, sauerkraut? I can't remember the word proper.
Well, that would be more of a fermented food.
That's more of a fermented, because I know that sometimes I crave that. And somehow when I eat it, even though I think that's high in histamine as well, isn't it? Though when I eat it, my stomach feels grateful. I don't know how I can say it. It settles. It feels like, thank you, I needed that.
Yeah, you're kind of really offering that really beneficial bacteria into the gut, you know?
Okay, but so that's not a bitter food. So what is a bitter food?
Oh, bitter foods could be things like endives and chicory.
Right.
Radicchio.
Radicchio, is that different from radish? I'm sorry, you're a food specialist and I'm lost in all this.
No, not at all.
It's radicchio radish.
It's like a purple looking...
The bigger one.
The bitter one. It's like a purple-looking lettuce cabbage that has purple and white veins that
Yes.
Now, you don't see it very much in your supermarkets, but you will see it in, for example, some of the markets that you would find, certainly in Den Haag, where we're living, in the Prince Hendrik Plein on a Thursday. They have a market, and you'll find radicchio there.
Are there any easier ones? I mean, sort of bitter doesn't mean, so it's not chewing on a lemon or a...
No, you think of rocket. You maybe add rocket leaves into your salad.
Okay.
Maybe some pink grapefruit.
Oh, yes.
You would have in the morning as a nice, refreshing start and a bitter taste to the mouth alongside maybe your porridge.
That sounds nice.
You know, thinking of it, cranberries. Cranberries are bitter foods.
Oh, I like cranberries as well. So they're not the dried ones, the fresh ones then probably.
The fresh ones that you would probably, because the dried, you've got to be careful of the sugar content.
Yes, exactly.
That added into there. Yeah. But then again, our dried foods are our dried fruits, should I say, are our phytoestrogen foods. And a tip I might give you about that is if you're buying apricots, buy the apricots that are brown and not orange.
Right.
Because they have that added preservatives in there.
Okay. Now, what about figs? I adore figs. I would live off figs and nuts and apples, probably. It would be my preference. Yeah. However, I think I've been told quite a few times that they're not what I should be eating. Does that have histamine in figs?
Well, they're dried fruits again. So, yes, there can be a certain amount of...
That's maybe why.
So just be careful what kind of language we use. And I'm always very mindful of how I say this is, again, observe how your body's reacting yourself. Take things in small, moderate amounts. You know, we're always trying to find a balance and equilibrium with everything that we do.
Yeah.
And you will see yourself how you're reacting to that.
I mean, to be honest, that in itself, I think, is a very worthwhile tip because, I mean, this is your world and you're very attuned and aware of your body, of measuring how do I feel, how has this food just affected me? Most of us don't. Most of us just charge on through life. I mean, most of the time, I have now really started this mindful eating thing. Most of the time, I don't even know what I've put in my mouth. I'm not really a foodie. Yeah. I mean, I know I need to eat stuff. I'm not into meals. I would love, as I say, just nuts and apples and charge out the door. But I mean, I'm not into, you know, really being aware of the effect it's having. How do I feel an hour later? You know, what's affecting my digestive system, as we were talking about before, or not. So I think that was probably one of your first steps is that sort of self-care, self-love, as in give yourself the gift of actually considering what you're putting in your body. You know, I sometimes have this, I say to myself, slow down, you know, you're a goddess, feed your body what it needs, not just any old thing that goes fast.
Exactly. And I think as well, especially in the perimenopausal year stages, if we can really get a grasp of that, our experience through menopause will be much easier.
Yeah.
We can really stop in the moments of every single day to check in with ourselves and where are we? And as you said, most people I see suffer from many different digestive health issues.
Yes, very much so.
Because they are eating too fast. And some people think it's just, you know, it's a boring topic. But actually, if I can share anything with you, it is that point there in itself. If you can just put your fork and knife and fork down in between each mouthful, even if it's that one thing, only that one thing.
Okay. Now I like that, because that's something very concrete that I can actually try to do, which I never do.
Yeah. You are going to bring so much benefits to your body, because your body's had time to chew it.
Yeah.
Is it time to land in your stomach, and your gut can do all the bacteria inside your colon, can do all the marvelous things that it does to absorb all that food that it needs and nutrients. So if you do that one thing each day, even that one thing to start.
Well, I think you've given us more than one thing. I mean, I can tell I can go on for this for ages. And if ever you have more time, I would love to have you back and we can look at a different approach or a different, you know, a different part of it. As you say, it's super complex. It affects so much of us, you know, whether it's our sleep, whether it's our digestion, whether it's our mood, whether it's how we were just feeling about ourselves, you know, as we see the signs, you know, which come along. And it's about embracing all of that and being loving and caring to ourselves and giving, you know, knowing. I mean, that's what you're saying as well. It's knowing, first of all, having that knowledge of what is happening in my body and in how far, you know, I embrace the facts, which are just pure nature. You know, that is it. You know, I'm a woman and I've had my childbearing years and now I'm going through the next stage. And that's not better or worse. It's just part of the whole.
Exactly. And it's going to be a wonderful next stage.
Yes, it is. I mean, it also comes with advantages, right?
Sorry?
It also comes with advantages.
Oh, God. Yes, absolutely. It's like exciting to think, right, what am I going to do with the next chapter of my life?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm seeing a bit more from my children. I have more time for myself. Yeah. What can I explore?
Yeah, and we know ourselves that bit better as well. Okay, right, let's summarize. So, Audrey, in a nutshell, what can they do? So they hydrate.
They can hydrate, they can get a good source of protein in there to sustain them, to prevent blood sugar dipping. They can get themselves into nature every day, every single day. I have an allotment, I'm lucky, I go there. If you don't, even if you have a garden, you have a walk in the park.
Yes.
Get into nature.
So what does that do, just in very short, because otherwise we're going to run over. Well, why? Why should they go out in nature?
Why does you go out into nature? You need to get the sunlight into your eyes. You have to get into the back of the retina in the back of your eyes. That will help to stimulate your circadian rhythm properly. That'll also be connected to your hormones.
That's going to be a good opening, because we are going to have a guest soon, Stephanie Ward, who's going to be talking about.
Wonderful. Yes.
Great. So yes, nature, the oils as well.
The doTERRA oils, the Clara Sage. You know, the deep blue for the headaches.
Yep.
And I use rosemary. I diffuse rosemary into the house because it's known to help with concentration. So I'm at home working. It's a fabulous one to diffuse into the house.
Okay.
And the last thing I'd probably say is magnesium.
Right.
Get yourself some magnesium to help with your sleeps, to help with your hot flushes, and to help you relax.
Now, magnesium is one of those ones which isn't that readily available in food, isn't it?
Oh, well, you can, of course, in your leafy greens, there's lots of magnesium in all of your leafy greens, your dark greens. What else could we say? In lentils, you know, all these sort of other...
Isn't that also in black chocolate?
Dark chocolate, yes. Yes, it's in dark chocolate. That's a great excuse for your wee nibble of dark chocolate there. But there's different types of magnesium, and the ones that work for me would be malate citrate. I take it in a powder form, and I take it at night. When I'm feeling a bit tense, I'm maybe feeling like I've got jumpy legs.
Right, recognizable.
And just to help control the hot flushes and helps me sleep a lot better.
Malate citrate magnesium.
Malate, so M-A-L-A-T-E.
Right.
Yeah.
got you, Audrey. I'm afraid for today, I'm going to have to stop, even though I would just feel that, you know, this is, there's so much, and it's just so reassuring, to be honest, to talk about it, to be able to do something, right? To feel that, okay, yes, we do need to embrace this, but that doesn't mean that we have to live for a certain amount of months or even years in misery and in the dark. There is more and more awareness, of course, around all of this. Yeah. And now, how can people get hold of you, Audrey? Because some people might want to take this a step further.
Yes. So my website is www.nourishandflourish.com.
Fabulous name. Nourishandflourish.com.
You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram. It's Audrey Dickinson dash nutrition for my Instagram account and Audrey.Dickinson for Facebook. And you can find all of my information there for my email address that you can drop me a line. I offer free 20-minute discovery calls. We can chat and I can see how I can help you feel so much better about yourself. And
I feel better already. I feel better already. I do, just knowing that you're out there. Audrey, thank you very much for taking time to share that with us today.
I think one more quick thing. Yes. I am developing a course, actually, on menopause and perimenopause.
Right.
So I'm in the makings of that right now, and I can share details and look out for that in my posts throughout my social media.
Wonderful.
That'll be a six-week course, and it'll all be about your body, menopause, but fun things.
Sound like exactly what we know. And that's also what this podcast is about. It's about taking it with lightness, enjoying it as part of the whole, and doing what we can for the less enjoyable parts of it. So you have given us a lot of food for thought. Thank you very much, Audrey.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For the rest of you out there, as always, you know, this is your time to now own the material which has been shared, you know, see what you think about the oils, look them up, the hydration, the foods to avoid, the foods that are good to take. Make a list for yourself of, okay, what can I change? You know, how do I do it based on what Audrey's just shared with us? And when do I start? Wonderful having you all with us today. Stay tuned and let's make these some of the best years of our life. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.